¡Órale!
¡Sí, señor!
Bienvenidos and welcome to the Familia FFP Podcast. Estamos en vivo. Primo Hector, live. ¿Cómo estamos, baby?
I'm good, man. Ready. Ready to rock.
Primo Ricky is working tonight, so it's just the two of us. So wishing him and his patients good thoughts. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at Familia FFP. You follow Ricky at Ricky Torres TV. Heck, where are they following you?
At what the heck? Two T's.
That's right, baby. That's right. And don't forget familiaffb.com, where I am about to drop by the time some of you who are hearing this on the podcast, I'm about to drop this long article with a feature on Dr. Edwin Porras, where he and I went through a bunch of injuries going into training camp. So it's on, baby.
That's the one thing that everyone's most interested in is injuries. That's what everyone wants to know about.
And you know what? We went through like so many guys that are coming off injuries. Some of the guys that we're going to talk about today. So this episode is going to kind of, you know, feed into the other guys, but, this is going to be so cool. So make sure familiaffb.com, make sure you're going to our Familia FFB Facebook page and also our Instagram. We get some
everywhere.
Find us everywhere, baby. Find us everywhere. Sound a little bit like Macho Man there. I will say I've been much of the day I've had that Macho Man kind of voice because Primo, I went to that Dodger game on Tuesday night.
Oh, man, luck.
You're lucky.
I wish I could have been there, man. Walk off.
And talk about luck. That was my first game in almost two years. My first live game. So it's incredible. Awesome. And you know what? We were going to, you know, in some instances, I might have left. I mean, when it was 6-1. A little frustrating, but when you
haven't seen a game in 2 years, you don't leave in the eighth inning.
Yeah, yeah. No, we weren't leaving.
Hell no.
Plus, my buddy Mike, who was driving us, shout out to Mike K. When he had promised his nephew, who was also joining us, that he would never take him early from a game, because my friend admitted. He admitted to his nephew. I knew this a long time ago that my friend Mike had left the Kirk Gibson game one of the 1988 World Series because he had to get to a surprise birthday party for his grandmother's birthday. So that's the only reason why I give him the okay. But he promised his nephew that he was never going to make him leave a game.
Wow. I mean, the only thing that he could say in his defense, maybe to make himself feel better, would be like, if I didn't leave early, he wouldn't have hit it. So he could say, you know what, it's because of me. I left, you know, the lined up, all the, you know, the planets aligned, you know, everything just kind of worked out that way. And that's the reason that Kirk Gibson hit it is because he left. So
if anything,
he can say that.
Him and the guy in the Corvette in the upper left-hand corner, whenever you see that replay, it's
the video, exactly. the lights going toward the exit.
yep. Those Corvette lights just get me every time.
They stand out.
But Primo, you know, aside from that great Dodger game, I'm fired up because we've got training camp. We are knocking on the door of training camp.
We're coming in.
Yep, we're coming in, gang. It's going to be a normal training camp. We're going to see preseason games. We're going to get regular, you know, we should get reports. I mean, there's still the COVID protocols to go through, but seriously, we're going to get real news to react to. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be so cool. And so, you know, but I will say we did get something to not be too excited about. You know, I don't think there's worse news that we could get than what we got Tuesday morning about Cam Akers rupturing.
Oh no.
It's
I mean, well, you know, grain of salt, you know, silver lining, at least it's not a knee or a, you know, torn ACL, right? I mean, Achilles, I mean, how do you rank it? I mean, that I'm, you know, I'm not a doctor. I don't pretend to be one on TV, but how does an Achilles rank if you're comparing it to a knee or a hip or like, is it like a, you know what I'm saying? Like how bad is it really?
According to, well, I went to the doctor. Yeah. And, you know, he just did the injury prone podcast with our buen amigo Edwin Porras.
Yeah.
And ruptured Achilles is actually worse than ACL tear.
Oh.
Because of the fact that the Achilles, you know, the Achilles has that explosiveness. And
that's your ankle is just doing this. It's just like being able to cut. That's the tendon that goes from the back of your heel up to your calf muscle, right?
Exactly. Yeah. And see, when you have an ACL tear, and this we went through a little bit in the interview and the feature that I put in there, when the ACL tear is grafted and it comes, it takes it takes about a year, maybe 15 months, but then it's pretty much healed, and you're close to performance. With the Achilles, it's not so, you know, it's a tendon, it's ruptured, it actually comes through, you know, it actually when it gets repaired, it's not necessarily going to come back to where it was before.
Oh, wow.
And you don't know if you're going to have that same explosiveness, that thing that makes
it's
you.
It's like a chance, right? It's like a risk. At least with ACL, yeah. You know, okay, he's going to heal Adrian Peterson style and, you know, come back like the bionic man. Because I know like Kobe Bryant, I think maybe even Dirk Nowitzki, I want to say. I can't remember. I know for sure Kobe, though, that he ripped that thing. And I remember that I think he went to Germany or he went – like there's some kind of surgery now where they repair the tendon and then they wrap another tendon like around it like a coil to strengthen it. And
that was his knee that he had done.
Kobe also had the Achilles.
Oh, he had the Achilles.
Remember when he went to go shoot a free throw and he ruptured it and he actually like hobbled to the free throw line and he shot the free throw and then like, oh my God, I can't believe Kobe's shooting free throws with a torn, you know, Achilles. So
and Kobe, you know, Kobe, I mean,
obviously, he came back.
He came back.
Scored 60 in his final game or whatever it was. So you can call that explosiveness, I would imagine. So, I mean, fingers crossed that for Cam Akers, you know, if it is a 50-50 proposition, you know, hopefully that, you know, he comes out on the right side of healthy.
And, you know, we did see Kevin Durant come back from his own Achilles tear. And he's, you know, he was playing great. We saw that clinch game where he scored like 50 points, the Nets lost. But
when they repaired his Achilles, they should have shrank his toe like a little bit when they fixed his Achilles, and he would have and the Bucks wouldn't have won its finals this year. So
how crazy is that, Primo? How crazy is that?
Like the way that the planets align, man. Like the Bucks have a championship because Durant's toe was like his shoe was like this much too long.
Oh, wow. Man. And that was the one we watched in your back. That was the game we watched in your backyard. Yes,
exactly. That was it. The toe game.
The toe game.
Yeah.
But now prayers up, you know, good thoughts for Cam Akers. He does have youth on his side. He's 22. So, you know, Edwin did mention that, you know, the studies that they've done, the athletes have been older, age 28. So 22, it does, age is on his side. So really hoping good things for him. I mean, it's just can't wish much better because, you know, I've seen articles about him that he's just as good a guy as it gets, a great teammate, a great, you know, and just a really, really positive force. So really thinking good thoughts for him, but yeah, you know,
veladoras up, you know, we're lighting the candles, man.
Exactamente. So, you know, but what is the NFL? It's next man up, and next man up is Darrell Henderson. And, you know, I put a little something together on Twitter yesterday, some things that I found about Henderson. Henderson and Akers had almost the same amount of rushing yards last year. Akers had 625. Henderson had 624. They had the same number. They had the same number of red zone rush attempts. Henderson, both of them had 34 rush attempts in the end zone. So the Rams are definitely trusting him in there. Huh. Henderson had six TDs on the season. Akers had three. Henderson had 20, you know, because of the TDs, he had 28.5 more fantasy points on the season.
Right, right.
Obviously, he, you know, he had some injuries there at the end. Things kind of slowed down for him. You know, another thing he's got working in his favor, he was a round three pick in 2019, so he does have that draft capital behind him.
Sure,
Is he the new lead Caballo? He, you know, Pro Football Focus had him ranked as the number 11 running back on the season last year. At one point, he was one of the top ranked running backs before he started to have some injuries. The Rams.
Well, that's all it was. I mean, as long as he's healed, I mean, I mean, are people fading Henderson at this point already? Okay, good.
The arrow's up. Ominous.
Good.
Are people drafting him in?
Yeah, his ADP. Is he undervalued or undervalued?
He might be undervalued. Right now, he might be undervalued. I did an early draft with my compadre Robbie Johnson from the Rum Boys, and I got Akers in the second round. So eso duele. But it's okay. I did drop him for a kicker.
Hey, you gotta do what you gotta do, nobody, man.
It was either that or go get, you know, I may still grab somebody else, but
yeah, you never know.
I will see. We'll see. That team may be done because a lot of reasons. But the thing is, you know, Henderson is that guy. You also got a couple of young guys that they talked about that Sean McVay has already talked about: Xavier Jones, Jake Funk. One's an undrafted free agent. The other one was like a seventh round pick. So you're looking at them. And I think the Rams are going to go into training camp just kind of looking at these guys and saying that Henderson's going to be the guy.
Yeah.
He's going to be the one who's, getting the bulk of the carries and the touches. He did get some catches out of the backfield last year, about the same amount as Akers. So he does have, you know, and I know Kevin Modesty had talked about that they do like that breakaway ability for when we did that beat writer series. So I'm looking at him and I think by the time they draft, I think by the time that we draft on Labor Day weekend, I really think that if they don't add anybody, I think that Darrell Henderson is possibly a second round pick, maybe, but I don't think he's anything later than a third round pick. I think that's good. Just because everybody loves running backs. And, yes. That what you get with the Rams is that McVay is going to use his running backs. It's that Mike Shanahan system with Terrell Davis and Orlando Scary and Clinton Portis, all those guys. Yeah. It's that system. So vamos a ver. God, it's still heartbreaking. I mean, I had a sock in the gut.
No, yeah. Sure. But, you know, like you said, and the NFL, unfortunately, you know, there's no time to dwell on the sadness, you just kind of, all right, he's hurt. All right, who's next up? And let's go. You know, that's just kind of, unfortunately, the business part of it. And you got to put the emotion, as much as, I know you're a big time Ram fan, but who's up, he's got to roll,
I did have the draft in the Scott Fishbowl that where I had the option of taking Akers or Clyde Edwards, Elaide. And I took CEH.
Okay.
I'm really bullish on him.
There you go.
CEH. So vamos a ver. But when it comes down to it, this show is about who else is going to be there. And really that was the biggest news to come out of the last few days. So we're looking ahead to training camp. Las dudas, the questions that we've had free agency, we've had the draft, we've had OTAs, we've had mini camps. They all tease us as to what is going to start happening on a daily basis over the next week. Now, we're going to start getting answers to all we've been studying, who's going to be getting the we're going to get some hints here as to who's going to be getting the most touches. We're going to update our analysis and our strategies in the coming weeks based on what's going to start happening, what news is going to be coming out. So we've got some questions we're going to follow. This is going to be kind of quarterback heavy, you know, because that's the position that drives this league. But there's just a couple of names that we're not going to talk about here.
Aaron Rodgers.
Chef Aaron. And Deshaun Watson. So they've both been talked about hasta que nos hacen locos.
And most of it's been about Aaron Rodgers' golf game is mostly what I've been seeing in the news. Not even about football. I mean, I heard something that he turned down, like a massive contract extension. It's just, like you said, there's just been like so much talk about Aaron Rodgers and, you know, Deshaun Watson, it says a gigantic question mark. So yeah, it's at this point, it's like, what more is there to say?
Yeah, we're just waiting to find out what happens. We're waiting to see if Aaron Rodgers shows up for training camp, which, you know, some of the people in the know think he's just going to show up and just kind of be like, Mike Florio from Pro Football Talk, he said he's going to show up and be like, what are you asking me about? And then it's just like, stop asking me about it. Let's move on. Let's talk about the season. Deshaun Watson, it's the hands of the lawyers. So let them work it out. So we're just going to let those things happen and we'll react to what happens. But there is plenty that's going to happen. And we're going to keep an eye on during these coming weeks. And we're starting in our own backyard at Cal Lutheran, where that team with the star on their helmets is going to have lots of eyeballs on it with Hard Knocks, but just a lot of eyeballs anyway. And hold on,
team with a star on the helmet. I'm trying to think.
Well, los cowboys, and we're going to start with
the vaqueros.
Los vaqueros. But no, in Mexico they call them los cowboys. Los cowboys. And we're starting with number four, número cuatro. How's Dak Prescott going to, you know, bounce back from that horrific ankle injury? I mean, he was on a ridiculous pace through five games.
Yeah, he was
going to push 6,000 yards if he kept that pace going, you know, and you know, that injury that made people turn away from the TV, you know, that was like Joe Theismann. So here he is.
Yes.
It looks like he's recovered. He got the fat contract extension. But will he be able to run that Konami code that makes him different, you know, that rushing upside that gets there, you know? But the one thing about it, Prescott asked media members not to ask him about his ankle injury to help him kind of get over the psychological hurdle.
Sure.
That to me is very telling that he needs to focus. He needs to keep his focus on not thinking about that. And
sure, out of sight, out of mind, you know,
yeah.
And hopefully, you know, and there's been a lot of talk about mental health, you know, Naomi Osaka, and, you know, it's now kind of like in the forefront, you know, Richard Sherman, you know, there's been a lot of discussion about mental health and the mental aspect of pro athletes, because I think if we look throughout history, you know, it's kind of, you know, you and I have been following sports since like the 70s when we were kids. And there was never any talk about anything like that, you know, as far as, you know, it was always like, suck it up, or guys having a down day, suck it up. And that's just kind of what it was, you know. And but now there's a lot more emphasis on, you know what, these are people, you know, these are human beings. And you know what? You kind of got to be sensitive to them. They're not gods. They're people. You know, yes, they're celebrity. Yes, they're our quote unquote heroes, and they're, you know, they're looked at as being greater than thou kind of thing. But they're, at the end of the day, these are people with emotions, and they hurt, and you know, they have pain, and they have mental blocks and emotional stuff going on. That when they're not on TV, when they go home, they deal with that stuff. So yeah, Dak Prescott, if this is leading to some kind of, you know, I'm not saying depression or whatever, but I'm just saying this is just something that he doesn't want to think about, because if he can keep it out of his mind, off his mind, and then that'll help him, you know, focus on the positive, then let's help him do that. I don't think there's anything to read into, like, oh, don't talk about it because it was really, really bad, worse than anybody knows. I don't think it's that. I think it's just like, you know what? I don't want to talk about it. I would rather just focus on the positive stuff with the team and everything else, instead of focusing on how much I was in pain and how much this hurt me. And I think that's okay. You know, and there's nothing wrong with that. And I think it's cool that he's straight out came out and asked him, you know, because I think for too long, the press has kind of gotten the pass on, like, you know, we can ask these guys anything and get away with it kind of thing. But now I think we're seeing more pushback from athletes, like, no, man, you can't ask me that. Like, no, I don't want to talk about that. You know, ask me something else. So I think it's good.
Yeah, and I think it's I think it is good. And I think it's going to also be very interesting how Hard Knocks handles this.
Yes.
Are they going to get the access to ask him the hard questions, or are the Cowboys and their PR people just going to kind of say, "Hey, you know what? You don't need to ask him about that. Just ask him football questions."
Sure.
And let's concentrate on these other storylines. So
if he already said it, I think maybe that had to do with Hard Knocks. If he already put it out there, like, you know what, if you ask me, I'm not going to answer you. And just kind of, that's kind of the end of it. So it's like, okay, well, now you can't get mad at me if you ask me, because I already said it. You know, it's like you're telling your kid, like, I told you not to do that. You know, like you already know. It's kind of like dad is playing mom and dad. Like, all your reporters out there, I'm letting you know right now, if you try to, you know, throw a hissy fit because I'm not answering your question, I'm letting you know right now that's your fault, because I'm telling you right now I'm not going to answer your question. So now it's on them, which is better, I think.
No, it's I think I'm going to keep an eye on it. But I will say I'm a little worried about how much he's actually going to run. And to make it, for him to throw for 5,000 plus yards, he's got to, that's going to be what the difference making.
Well, yeah, but here's my question. My question is, how was he able to put up such big numbers? You know, how much was running, or the idea of him running, or the fear of him running, how much did that play into it? Because it just seems to me he was just putting up like video game numbers, and it just seems like, you know, his line was protecting him and he was just throwing the ball out there and his guys were just, you know, putting up big numbers for him. So I guess my question is, does he really need to be a threat to run? Because last year it didn't seem like he was doing that and he was putting up major numbers.
You know, he ran a little bit, but not a ton, because he had to throw, because their defense was so bad. So,
right.
And their defense,
exactly.
Their defense, so who knows if it's going to be much better.
Whether he runs or not, if his defense is still bad, which it probably will be, and he's behind and he's just chucking the ball, he may still end up putting a bunch of numbers, and whether he runs or not may not even impact what he does.
Yeah, so I think it's he's in that range with Justin Herbert and Russell Wilson, and yeah, you know, I kind of prefer to get guys who haven't gone through surgery.
But yeah, for sure,
it's my thing. I mean,
but if he falls in your lap,
he's a guy that I'm going to take a chance on, because right, he's got weapons.
Yeah,
hopefully his line is better, and you know, that was a freak injury, so hopefully that it goes away.
And Zeke had some issues with COVID, like post COVID, yeah, that Zeke was dealing with all season, so maybe now he's another year, and maybe all that Zeke could put it behind him and be the Zeke that we remember from a couple of years back. So some positive things happening for the Cowboys.
Well, so another positive things is, how's the GOAT? Tom Brady, TB12. He's 44. You know, he's coming off his second best touchdown season of his career with 40 last year. And he did it all with a messed up knee, a torn meniscus in his knee. Torn MCL, sorry.
Yeah, media collateral.
And so, you know, he probably won't play in the preseason, but are you at all worried about him? Because he's also went pretty high in drafts.
Well, as he should. You know, I mean, remember, he's still got Godwin, he's still got Evans, he's still got Gronk, he's still got Antonio Brown, right? I mean, he still has those guys, right? So, based on what we saw in the Super Bowl, I mean, he's still got a great line. He's still got a good, you know, great defense. So, you know, I can't see any reason. And especially if he was injured last year and this year he's not. I mean, wow. It's almost like – it almost seems like he would play younger, if that makes sense, this year than last year, which is a scary thought. So, right? You know what I mean?
The one thing about him, he really seemed to get the offense the last five games of the season.
Yes,
and then totally. And then well into the playoffs. So that, you know, maybe that's a big part of it. I look at him as I'm going to keep an eye on this, but I think they're going to keep a lot of things under wraps, and I think he's going to be I think he's going to be just fine because he's Tom Brady, and he's going to actually be looking at plenty.
Yeah, and this guy, he's so competitive, man. I mean, he's so like, he just doesn't give a F. You know what I'm saying? Do you see him at the White House? Like, he's just like, damn, this guy's a badass.
He's amazing.
He just doesn't care. You know, and I think, the golf tournament with, with Aaron Rodgers and Bryson, the guy's just hyper competitive. Like, I think Bryson, he's like one of the longest hitters in all of golf. And he put a ball on the green, like on a par four. And Brady went up there and he's like, oh yeah. And he put a ball on the green on a par four. I was just like, this guy's crazy. Like, Tom Brady is crazy, but like in a good way. Like, he's a guy you want on your side. So if he's available and when I'm looking for a QB, I'm all over it. Tom Brady, I think this year is going to have another monster year. And it's kind of counterintuitive, as we've gone through fantasy. If you've played it any number of years in fantasy, as a quarterback gets older, you fade him. Oh, he's 1 year older, especially at age 44. But Tom Brady's just like this anomaly that we already know. So do not fade Tom Brady.
Super freak.
Super freak. Exactly.
So we got question number three. Who's going to be the quarterback? Who's going to be the QB1 in New Orleans? We got Jameis versus Taysom, Winston versus Hill. You had Taysom Hill starting four games last year. Mm-hmm. The first time he was more than a gadget player, he threw 121 passes last year, 928 yards, four touchdowns. He had 209 rushing yards and four touchdowns. You also have Winston, he's 2 years removed from throwing 33 TDs, 30 interceptions and over 5,000 yards. I think we're going to see these guys get plenty of reps in preseason games. But if you were to put money, heck, on somebody to pick to be the starter, who are you putting your money on?
I'll put my money on Winston. And I kind of compare, and I don't know if you agree with this. Let me know what you think. It's kind of like Dennis Rodman, and the Zen Master, Phil Jackson on the Bulls in the 90s. You know what I'm saying? Like, Winston was kind of like, he's kind of been this loose cannon, even coming out of Florida State, he was, he'd do some crazy stuff. He got in trouble for a couple things, like doing this wacky stuff. And, you almost kind of felt like he's just like too much of a clown and jokester, not really taking everything seriously. It almost seems like this is the year that Sean Payton finally just says, look, man, this is the, Drew Brees is gone. This is your opportunity. This is can be like your team now, like no more bull-esque. no messing around. Like, let's it's time for you to, to put up or shut up, And I think Sean Payton has the ability to really sit down with Jameis and just, really tell him, like, let's do this, man. I think Jameis Winston will buy in and be that guy. But not to say, so to answer your question, I think it'll be Jameis, but not to say that, Sean Payton, being the genius that he is, he's going to put in Hill as much as he possibly can. And this may be one of those years, and I've kind of alluded to it before, this may be kind of like a pseudo, kind of like a quarterback guy by committee kind of thing. Because Taysom Hill's a talented guy. He can do a lot of great things. And I can see like a plug-and-play scenario where, every once in a while, just randomly, Winston comes out, Hill goes in, and just like throughout a game, they can just be like going back and forth, just doing wacky stuff. And then they'll both go in together, and Hill will line up as a QB, and, Winston will be a receiver or vice versa. And they'll just like throw defenses for a loop, like, oh my god, Winston's a receiver and Hill's the quarterback, and like, what am I looking at here? And you know what I'm saying, just to be crazy, because I can see Sean Payton just being creative with that. And then you still have all these, you still have, the rest of the squad. You have, you have Michael Thomas, you have Alvin Kamara still to just wreak havoc among defenses. So I mean, Sean Payton's kind of like, the key master right now, like the puppet master. He can do some really creative and cool things because these guys are all athletic, they're all talented, and he can really have some fun out there being like Willy Wonka, like doing wacky stuff in New Orleans. So it should be fun.
It's, you know, the only thing that gives me a little bit pause is the fact that Taysom Hill was the starter last year for four games. I mean, I do kind of think that maybe it was because, first off, Sean Payton wanted to see what he had. And I think the other, I think the other part was that Hill had a greater grasp of the offense by that point. I mean, COVID.
At that point, sure. But now this year, I think now that they've both had enough time to study the playbook and understand the offense, do you still give it to Hill? Or are you leaning?
No, I think it's gonna. I think it's gonna be Winston. I've drafted. And Winston is going late. I mean, I've gotten him really late in drafts. I'm snapping him up. I had one draft where I drafted a super flex league, the Scott Fishbowl, where my first quarterback was Justin Herbert. And then later I got back-to-back rounds. I grabbed Taysom Hill and Jameis Winston. I grabbed Winston first. Uh-huh. I mean, Winston is going late. He is going as the QB 22 in the 14th round of drafts. I mean, to me, to get the quarterback, to get a quarterback who has a downfield mentality, who has kind of like that Brett Favre, don't give a frick, feel where he's gonna run and he's playing in the dome. Yeah, and he's gonna take his shots and he's gonna put the ball into those tight windows. That's why I'm thinking I think Winston's got a chance to have a good season because he is in a Sean Payton offense with those weapons, with that great offensive line, one of the top offensive lines in the game. You still got Michael Thomas who's gonna be healthy, and you still got Kamara. I think the offense is going to fly.
Big things are going to happen. I mean, Sean Payton was a quarterback. So, I mean, if anyone can make Jameis Winston great again, it's Sean Payton. So, I think so. I'm very interested to see, what that looks like. It's going to be exciting. And to your point, Winston going that late is just asinine.
It's a crime. It's a crime. It's ridiculous. I feel like I'm taking candy from a baby.
Yeah, really, for sure. Yeah. So I'm going to grab him right before you grab him. So, there's that.
Well, are you going to grab a Bears quarterback? We got a quarterback battle, Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. Mm-hmm. Andy Dalton. Now, head coach Matt Nagy has already said that Dalton is going to be the starter on, starting QB at SoFi Stadium on opening night when the Bears play the Rams. But how long will Dalton last? If he has a tough game with Aaron Donald. The one thing about it, they do have that tough opening, but then their schedule lets up. They play the Bengals, the Browns, the Lions, and the Raiders. None of those defenses, especially the Lions and the Raiders, are not expected. Those two defenses are not expected to be that good. Bengals are also – Browns are expected to be good. But could Andy Dalton get off to a respectable start to kind of keep Justin Fields on the bench, at least through their Week 10 bye?
Well, I mean, I think it's easy for us to get into this mode where the rookies have to start. You and I have been around long enough to understand, like with Aaron Rodgers and all these other QBs, if you're a rookie, there is value to you sitting back and learning from the starter, being the understudy and the apprentice. And understanding and figuring out and learning as you go and being mentored by the starting QB, Andy Dalton. Justin Fields will learn a ton from Andy Dalton. And to your point, even if he has a rough first game against the Chargers, these next couple of games, Andy Dalton is more than capable of winning the next four or five games that you listed there against those, the Browns and the Bengals and those other guys. So Andy Dalton could end up, 4-1, 3-2, or, whatever it is, he'll have a winning record after the first like 5 or 6 weeks. So, based on that, I don't know if Justin Field, I don't know if that warrants, him losing his job. But again, if he doesn't win those games, then yeah, it's easy to put Fields in there and say, hey man, Andy Dalton should have won these games. These were, quote unquote, easier games that Andy Dalton should have probably put away. But if he didn't, or he comes out under 500, then yeah, it's easy to at that point put in Justin Fields. But I think Andy Dalton will be capable enough. But to your point, if we get into Week 10, you said it's a Week 10 bye.
Yep.
Yeah, it all comes down to that. What's going to be there? What's the Bears' record at Week 10 at the bye? And we go from there. If they're shaky or you know, if Andy Dalton, you know, maybe Andy Dalton gets hurt, you know, who knows? Maybe, you know, maybe this is all moot.
Yes.
You know, and week four, you know, breaks his thumb again on a guy's helmet like he did a couple of years back in the playoffs.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, you never know. But, you know, Justin Fields is there. I think Andy Dalton is smart enough to understand, you know, what's going on. It's a business in the NFL. You know, it's just a matter of time before Justin Fields takes over. So, you know, Andy Dalton's going to do his best, and as much as he wants to be out there, as long as he wants to be out there, and you know, if he doesn't make it, then Fields will just come in and take over, and we'll see what happens.
So, you know, we'll be talking about buys and a buy for a rookie quarterback, but first off, let's talk about the quarterback that's Primo Nico has called Fabio Football, Trevor Lawrence. How's he going to adjust to the NFL? You know, there's going to be extra eyeballs on him. Probably the first time that Jacksonville is really looked at as a national team because of him. Mm-hmm. Obviously, yeah. there's going to be questions because Tim Tebow got picked up as a free agent.
Yes.
You got Urban Meyer coming in. You know, there's going to be the question marks. Is he ready to make the jump to the NFL? You know, you've got the talent at receiver in DJ Chark, Laviska Shenault, who's getting a lot of hype for.
He's getting a lot of run. Laviska Shenault, he's everywhere I look. You know, who's your sleeper for the year? Oh, Laviska. You know, there's a lot of talk about Laviska Shenault, man.
Laviska, Marvin Jones, and you got Travis Etienne and James Robinson. Mm-hmm. I mean, the one thing we're going to see with him that we're not going to see with veterans, we should be seeing Trevor Lawrence play in preseason, because you don't want his first snaps to be in, you know, on September 12th, you know.
No, you just don't
want to see that. So he's going to need some snaps in there. It's going to be and plus, here's the other question. Is he going to have a shampoo commercial by then?
For sure. He's going to be heading. I mean, I promise you, behind the scenes, you know, you got your Troy Polamalu and your
he'll have Patrick Head and Shoulders tonight.
Oh, it'll be for sure. It'll be Head and Shoulders. He's in it, you know.
Oh yeah.
Polamalu and Patrick Mahomes will be like, oh yeah, oh yeah. And then Trevor Lawrence like, what's up, guys? Like, I can already like see it. You know, like, you know, he's coming in and the wind's blowing in slow motion. You know.
Fabio Football.
Oh, it's gonna be fantastic.
Fabio Football.
So I mean, but remember, so. To your question, how is he going to adjust to the NFL? I think he's going to have no problem. The guy's got ice in his veins. If you remember, he was a freshman at Clemson. He won a championship at Clemson as a freshman, right?
He did.
I mean, that's a year after being a college senior. I mean, a high school senior, right? You're going to remember prom when you're a senior?
Six months after going to prom.
Yeah, exactly. Like 6 months after prom, you're winning a national championship on Channel 7, you know, on ESPN in front of a million people, and you're cool as a clown, you know?
A lot of million, like 50, 60 million
people.
Right,
exactly my point. So I think Trevor Lawrence, I think the guy is unflappable. You know, he's not going to have any problem at all. He's not going to fold under the bright lights at all. You know, he's not in New York in a big market. He's in a nice, cozy spot in Jacksonville. So even a little bit less pressure, as much as he's, you know, under the spotlight, it's not a gigantic market. So he can kind of, you know, hide in the shadows, as it were, you know what I'm saying, in a smaller market NFL team. So he's going to be great. Like you said, he's got tons of talent around him, Chark and Shenault and Jones and Etienne. My God, James Robinson's like, wow. I mean, all we have to worry about is, can Urban Meyer handle this? Because, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because there's a crap ton of talent on this team, man. And as long as Urban Meyer can lead the ship, they're going to be in great shape. And, I don't know what the over-under is for wins for these guys, but I think they're going to do some damage.
I think they will, but I don't see them winning more than like six games, just because
they're not going to make the playoffs. I don't think at all, but I think they may win more games than what most people may. You know, people think they're going like three wins or four wins. I think, you know, they're going to surprise. They're going to have a couple of surprise games in there. They may pull off a couple of surprise wins.
Yeah, he'll have some big games, but I think he'll also have some clunkers. He's going to have some growing pains this year.
As far as, you know, what his maturity level is, you look at guys like Justin Herbert, you know, Joe Burrow, how did they do in their, you know, their rookie campaigns, you know? And because I think Trevor Lawrence is every bit as mature and capable as those guys? And did they have any clunkers, you know, to really speak of? You know, I don't know if Herbert did, you know, if any. You know,
Burrow did. Burrow did. Herbert. Right. Herbert had games that weren't that great, but and then he had some great some games where he was absolutely spectacular.
Exactly. So exactly. Trevor Lawrence has the ability to be spectacular in the same way that Herbert was. You know.
Yeah. So we got another one. We're going to keep moving on this one because staying in the state of Florida, is Tua gonna turn the law firm of Fuller, Waddle, Parker and Gesicki into Alabama 2.0? I mean, he had those five interceptions that he threw in training camp on that rainy day when the coaching staff told Tua, you got to go throw the ball and be aggressive. So, but you know, the question, I honestly don't remember someone getting so many questions after so few games. I think Jared Goff might've gotten quite a few questions after his rookie year where he was 0-7.
Right.
And then he answered them with a really good sophomore campaign.
Mm-hmm.
Is Tua going to be that guy? Is Tua going to be that guy? Would you know, he's going to put where I think we're going to see him in the preseason. Hopefully he doesn't throw some interceptions. Hopefully he gets, keeps the dogs away from him. being the D lineman. But you know, is he going to be able to have the kind of season where he makes more than like one or two receivers be good? That to me is the big question.
Well, I mean, I love Mike, the bat. Mike Gesicki is just he's a bad dude. And then you're adding Will Fuller to the, you know, to the fold. Just those two guys, I think, are gonna, you know, I'm excited just on those two guys. I mean, Devontae Parker, he's been on, your draft boards for years and years and years, and he hasn't really, you know, made any noise really. But just the fact that Will Fuller's there and Gesicki is there, and I'm excited just for those two guys. I think Tua. He, you know, coming out of Alabama, he was so like highly, like it was just like, oh my God, this guy's going to be amazing. Then he got hurt and that kind of changed everything. And I think there's been enough time now that has passed, you know, that he's been able to heal from that injury. I think he's ready to just kind of blow up and just, and become that Tua that he was back at Alabama and really bring it to the next level. You know, I think, you know, throwing five interceptions, you know, like you said, it's a rainy day. The ball's slippery. The coaches are telling him, man, you know, keep throwing it. That, you know, so, I mean, I don't know how much credence you really put into a game like that. You know what I mean? I'm excited to see what he does, you know, with Gesicki and Fuller, just those two guys. I mean, and I think there's just from there, that's just the floor. And then from, you know, if his receivers, you know, Waddle, you got Parker, if they can do any more damage, you know, on top of what, you know, Fuller and Gesicki are going to do, it should be pretty good, man. I'm hoping for big things out of Miami. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, because I think they've got a team that's primed to go to the playoffs, but they need Tua to take a step forward to really become that team, and that is going to be important. Another important guy is probably as important a player to his Cincinnati team. Bengals,
yes,
as there has been in a long time, Joe Burrow. Is he recovered and ready? He's going to be a little more than 9 months past his December 2020 in surgery. Mm-hmm. And he had he had multiple ligaments, ACL, MCL, and meniscus. Again, Ugh. Dr. Porras said that's a complicated surgery that takes some time. During OTAs and minicamp, the Bengals made sure that no one was around Burrow. There was nobody in the backfield. Nobody, he was taking shotguns. So nobody was going to, possibly bump into him. He looked good. I'm still kind of the opinion that it's wait and see. I still remember Carson Wentz where he had that knee injury at the end of the 2017 season.
I remember
and
that.
He missed the first, I think, two or three weeks of the 2018 season. And it mm-hmm. was kind of a similar timeline.
Yeah.
That from when Wentz's injury was to Burrow's injury. So are you keeping an eye on Burrow?
Oh, for sure, man. I love the receiving core in Cincinnati, man. I'm you know, that's going to be, gosh, I mean, there's a lot of hype around the receiving core in Cincinnati, man. So Burrow can get back to form. You know, I'm ready. I'm ready for some T. Higgins. I'm ready for some. We have a reunited over there in with his wide receiver over there in LSU, right?
Jamar Chase.
Jamar Chase. Yes, sir.
So that one could be good. I just want them to make sure they're 100%. 100%.
Take care of him. You got to protect him.
Make sure that he's fine. Make sure that he's fine.
Yes. Yes.
So even if he has to sit a week or two to make sure he's fine, I say do it, because it takes about, you know, it was 9 months. It takes about a year for that. I like Burrow a lot in 2022. I like him a lot. As long as he stays healthy in 21, come back in 22, he's gonna be a stud.
Light it up for sure. No, I agree with you. I think one year, take the year to kind of like get better, and then that following year he'll blow up for sure. I like that.
So Trey Lance. So we were talking about earlier with Justin Fields and Andy Dalton. We got Trey Lance hasn't played a game in almost two years. He's played one game in almost the last 2 years. I think Jimmy G is going to start the season, but I kind of look at that, they got Detroit and Philadelphia, both teams are rebuilding, and they've got kind of a soft schedule. But one thing I'm pointing out to people a lot is that the 49ers have week 16 at home against the Houston Texans. I think that's going to be a big win for them. I'm sorry, week 17. So that's going to be championship week for fantasy football. To me, that I want as many 49ers, because I want my guys playing that week. I want George Kittle. I want Deebo Samuel. And is Trey Lance going to be the quarterback by then? You know, they have the week 11 bye. So that one is.
I mean, Jimmy G's like Glass Joe from, you know, Mike Tyson's Punch Out. Like, you know, you touch the guy and he breaks. You know what I mean? Like,
muy cierto. Muy cierto.
I don't know if Jimmy G's going to be around, you know, by week 7, let alone week 17. So, you know, yeah, I think Trey Lance will, you know, he'll get his shot. You know, at some point during the season, Jimmy G's, he's just known, you know, to get hurt at some point, somehow, some way, he's going to get an injury and he'll be done for a while. So, you know, it's like Drew Bledsoe and Tom Brady. You know, once Jimmy G goes down, Trey Lance gets his shot, and you know that may be the end of Jimmy G.
You know, the one thing with Jimmy G, this is his this is kind of his opportunity to make sure he's got a career. You know, career as a starter after 2021. He's still young. I think he's in his late 20s. I look at him. He knows the writing's on the wall. He's performing for 31 other teams right now.
Oh yeah,
and so. I think he wants to make sure he doesn't end up like Mitchell Trubisky, who is a backup right now. He wants to be a starting quarterback somewhere next year.
He just can't stay healthy. I mean, how many teams really want to invest in a guy that, you know, can't last an entire season? You know, it's just, I don't know, man. I mean, yeah, I get what you're saying for sure. Jimmy G wants, that's what Jimmy G wants. Absolutely. Every quarterback wants that. He just needs to prove that he can take his hits and you know, takes, you know, like the Timex watch, man, you know, takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You got to keep on ticking, Jimmy G. You know, you get a bump and a bruise and you're out for 3 weeks. You know, that's not going to work.
Well, the one thing Trey Lance is going to make, he's going to have to be ready, because he knows. And you know what? When you're a backup quarterback, you always know you're one play away.
Heck yeah.
You're one play away from playing.
One play away. Totally.
We're gonna see. We're almost at it. You know, I inadvertently skipped over our fifth point, which was Carson Wentz fitting in with the Colts.
You were talking about Carson Wentz too.
Yeah, you know, you've got those guys, and you know, you've got Wentz, who's got that build and athleticism that Andrew Luck had. He was, and we got to remember, he was QB9 2 years ago. So he's not over the hill. I think he's 28. He's going to a team with a much better offensive line.
Yeah. He's built to me. I mean, Carson Wentz, and I don't know if you agree with this, he reminds me so much of Ben Roethlisberger, just the way he's built, right? he reminds me of like the way he, you know, his like similar build, similar like, you know, broad shoulders. He just reminds me so much of Ben Roethlisberger. And, you know, and yeah, to your point, he's young. Carson Wentz is a young guy. He's reunited with his, you know, Frank Reich, who's with him, you know, back in Philly. You know, so I think this is the year that Carson Wentz, you know, kind of reverts back to, you know, where he was, man. He was like, what, on the verge of like MVP status, you know, Super Bowl, all that stuff. Carson Wentz was like, he was a bad dude before he got hurt. So, you know, I you know, we've all been waiting for, you know, Carson Wentz to get back to where he was. And I think this might be the year that he does that. He's got a great receiving core there with the Colts. And I'm excited, man, to see what that looks like.
I'm fired up. I'm pretty excited about them. I think he, Zach Kiefer from The Athletic, you know, when we sat down, he talked about the fact that they're going to stress to Carson Wentz, you don't have to do everything. You don't have to be that guy. So Carson Wentz is going to be, I think he's going to be, going to do what he needs to do. Mm-hmm. And he's going to have a great running game to support him. I think that's
a great running game. Yeah. Jonathan Taylor is no joke. Yeah, that guy was
no joke.
He was a mean hombre last year.
That was a bad man. And I like him a lot. They have a tough schedule to start the season. And they do have a new left tackle that is coming off his own Achilles injury. So, you know, that there could be some leaks. And, you know, Wentz definitely does not do well when he's under pressure. What quarterback does? But again, they're going to need to keep him upright and looking good. Another guy that needs to get kept upright, Sam Darnold. You know, I think we watched him a lot. At USC, he is so incredibly talented. You know, he makes some plays that show you that great athleticism and great talent. But then he also has some plays where he's like, ¿Qué estás pensando? ¿Qué estás pensando? So, but he's in a system where he's got a play caller in Joe Brady, who's going to give him. You know, who's going to give him opportunity.
He's got weapons.
Your guy, Robbie Anderson. He's got guys all over the place.
Yeah, he's reunited. We talk about reunited. He's reunited with Robbie Anderson. And back at when they were together on the Jets, Robbie Anderson, that's where it opened my eyes. And I remember I scooped up Robbie Anderson off like waivers, you know, like kind of late in the season. Like I think it was like week 11 or something. Like nobody was even paying attention to Robbie Anderson. But, you know, I was noticing that Darnold and Anderson were just kind of like, you know, starting to do things. So I picked him up off waivers, and like for the rest of the season, like the last like 4 or 5 weeks of that season, I think it was like 2018 maybe. They were doing damage. You know, Robbie Anderson and Darnold together were doing some damage. So keep an eye on Robbie Anderson. I'm looking for big things from him this year.
And I think this is the best receivers he's had. You know, he's got Robbie Anderson, who's in a system that's using him correctly. You've got DJ Moore, who's also just a stud receiver. And you got McCaffrey. So
McCaffrey sounds familiar. McCaffrey.
We remember. You remember.
I think he's good. He's good, right? He's good, right?
Well, one guy we don't know. Our last duda. We don't know, is Daniel Jones good? We still don't know. Danny Dimes. Is he good? The other part is Saquon Barkley going to be ready in week one? We're with Los Gigantes, the New York Football Giants. Are they, you know, you've got Danny Dimes, and you look at the final numbers from last year, and they were underwhelming. 2,943 passing yards, 11 touchdowns, 10 interceptions. He's had problems with fumbles, but also Next Gen Stats on NFL.com found him to be the number one rated passer, deep passer, 39 passes of 20 plus yards. And he had a passer rating of 134.9. Last I checked, that was pretty good. That was damn good. So is that good news for Kenny Golladay and Darius Slayton and, you know, Kadarius Toney, the rookie? Is it good news for them? Or, you know, it's kind of one of those things. Daniel Jones is kind of that sexy player people are saying he's going to take some people. It's really easy to say he's going to take the Josh Allen jump, but is he ready? Is he really ready to do that? Is he going to keep running the way he did before? I'm still, I've talked to Giant fans and they don't know. they're hopeful, but they don't sure. know. And I don't know if Bills fans were in the same boat last year. I think they saw something in him. So,
yeah. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yeah, he's, you know, adding Kenny G to that receiving core is obviously, you know, huge, but I don't know. I like you said, underwhelming, and, you know, and I'm a numbers guy, and, you know, most fantasy players are numbers guys. And when you see the number of games that Daniel Jones played and the number of, you know, touchdowns and, you know, 11 TDs and 10 picks, that's I mean, you're most guys are going to fade that. I mean, with so many quarterbacks on the board, you know, Daniel Jones is probably dropping way down on everyone's, you know, list of quarterbacks that they want, probably like fourth or fifth on most people's lists on, you know, quarterbacks that they're, you know, keeping an eye on. So I don't know, you know, if he's going to go undrafted, maybe, you know, again, 11 TDs and 10 picks. Why would you want that, you know, on your squad? You know what I mean? And yes, adding Kenny G and yes, the, you know, next gen stats and whatnot, but I don't know, like it's the smell test and the eyeball test, just, you know, seeing what he did last year, you know, outside of next gen stats. Next gen stats don't win you your fantasy football, you know, championship, you know, stats when you're championship. So if he's, you know, throwing up some, you know, like you said, underwhelming numbers like that, and he's not getting you fantasy points, you know, you may just end up skipping him.
No, I think, he's a guy I may take a flyer on.
Okay. Maybe a flyer is what, you know, most guys would take on it for sure.
He's that guy. So his ADP right now is, he is going in the, where is he going?
Seventh.
He's going 20. He's going in the 15th round.
Oh my God.
He's QB26. So he's kind of in that range. Jameis Winston, Fitzmagic, Tua, Derek Carr, and, you know, he's the guy, because of the rushing, he could jump up. So, you know, if he takes that step forward, I think you take a chance on him as your second quarterback and, you know, with a single QB, or maybe as your third quarterback in a super flex league, right, with the off chance that he pops. So I think that's the thing. He's one of those guys that I'm looking at in case he pops.
Yeah, it's a total coin toss. Total coin toss, man. Heads or tails. Heads, he's gonna have a pretty, you know, really, you know, great, you know, bump up year from last year, or tails, he just craps out. You know?
Yeah. So, well, and then there's Saquon, who has been very cryptic in if he's gonna be ready at the beginning of the season. There's been all this talk of, is, you know, when, you know, are they going to ease him in? Is he going to play, you know, is he going to be, you know, get a full workload right off the bat? Is he even going to be ready? He went on the Rich Eisen show a couple weeks ago and he was very kind of, you know, non-committal as to whether he was going to be ready. At the end, you know, Rich Eisen just kind of put him on the spot and said, I'm picking you in fantasy football draft number one. Are you gonna be ready on and then he just kind of like,
is that a good pick?
So you know, it's one of those things. I want him to be healthy. They've got a tough schedule and their offensive line is ranked number 32, which has me a little worried about that going into the season. But
ouch,
you know, we've seen teams take a big step forward. They seem to not be worried about him, but yeah, I'm.
I mean, that doesn't bode well for. I mean, even more of a reason why Daniel Jones is going, you know, in the QB 26 or whatever it was that you said. If your O line is ranked like last in the NFL, that's not a good sign for your quarterback.
and especially a quarterback that you need to take a step forward.
Yes,
to find out if he's the guy.
Yes, that's not going to happen. That doesn't lend itself to helping your QB improve when your O line is terrible.
So. And if you're, you know, to help your QB improve, you need that stud running back to be a stud running back. So,
yeah, so. Rebuild. They're rebuilding.
But Primo, I mean, it's coming. I viene the season. I'm pumped. So we're going to get out of here. Eso es todo for our show, everybody.
For our show.
You know, thank you to Anchor for being our hosting network and making sure our independent podcast gets out to the Familia community. Thank you also to YouTube for putting our lovely faces. Well, Hector's and me, no tanto. Please make sure you subscribe. Leave us a review at YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. You can find original content at familiaffp.com. Hector, where are they going to find you on Twitter?
At what the heck? Two T's.
You can find me at JorgeMartin17. Don't forget our Familia at Familia FFB on Twitter and Instagram, as well as our Familia FFB Facebook page. Everybody get ready. It's redraft season is coming. This is going to be the fun time. We're so pumped. Remember, everybody, todos somos familia.
Adios, amigos. Salud.
Salud.